What is up? Welcome to NExpress, the Nintendo show of GoombaStomp.com. I am one of your guides into this field of the unknown, Tim Mason. Here with me is Patrick Murphy.
What's up, Tim Mason? What's up, Nintendo Nation? I get to say it this time, Tim.
Yeah, no Rick this week. He went down a black hole. We don't know if we're ever going to see him again.
Rick is having computer difficulties.
But I'm sure he'll be back next week, and we can hear all about what he's been playing and what he's been up to. But we've got a special guest to fill in for him. Zach Rezac is back for the, what, sixth time now? Something
Six,
like that?
Six, seven, something like that. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, it's good to have you back, Zach.
Yep, good to be back as always.
So this week's really exciting. Shouldn't be as long an episode. We've only got two topics this week, but they're both incredibly exciting. One, we're going to talk about a little game from a nobody studio, Blizzard Entertainment. That's right, Diablo 3 is on the Switch. And we've got thoughts and feelings. That's why, Zach, you've been playing quite a bit of that, yeah?
I have. Yes, I have.
So you're going to be our expert. And beyond that, you guys, my whole life has been flipped upside down because people are living alongside Pokemon in a live-action movie. Detective Pikachu got its first trailer.
It was interesting.
It was, yeah, it happened.
It was such a tumultuous roller coaster. We will have to save it for a discussion. I can't. So let's start with a quick icebreaker, what we've been playing besides the topics at hand. Patrick, I know you've been playing more Starlink, and you actually beat the game.
Yeah, I actually just beat it today. So we talked about it last week on last week's show, and I was saying that I was digging it. I was about 6 or 7 hours in, and I was digging it. I can honestly say after playing through it, I've probably put about the counter. I didn't play it 10 days ago, over 10 days ago yet, so I don't know what my hours are because the Switch won't tell me until I've played a game for 10 days for some reason. But I probably put about 20, 25 hours into it so far, and I beat it today. And I gotta say, I played a hell of a lot more of it than I thought I would. Didn't 100% it, don't plan on 100%ing it. There's a lot of tedious things that you have to do, and it's not quite Breath of the Wild good. I'm not gonna go around collecting Koroks in this one, but it was good. It was worth my money. I was kind of surprised. I'm glad I didn't pass this game up, because I got a lot of enjoyment for my $60 out of this game. It really compelled me to keep playing. I had some late night sessions because I really didn't want to stop, and I had to tell myself to go to sleep. And that's always the mark of a good video game, when you have to tell yourself, no, I can't, no more.
Yeah, it's a very good sign.
It's funny that you just did that. Listen to Game Boys. I admitted there that I stayed up until 3:30 playing Destiny one night. That's very unlike me.
I was doing that with Starlink. I was staying up till 3 a.m. just because I wanted to. I kept the gameplay loop to me was so satisfying. This just going around each planet, taking out all these big extractors, taking out the big prime bosses that are on each planet, and then going up in space and taking out the big dreadnought ships that are up there that are your last big bosses. And then I went around and I like found every little outlaw post. There's outlaws in this game, right? They're just like jerks who show up from time to time and take you on, and they're really cocky and they think they get you. Every time they score one hit on you, they think it's the end of you, until you blast them all away with your superior firepower. Towards the end, I was a monster. I mean, you can upgrade everything in this game, including your ship's hull. So you got these mods that you can use for defense and mobility, and you can also mod your weapons to make them more powerful, to give them an increased firing rate, and there are actually noticeable differences too for these mods. So by the end, I was really OP. I was just blowing everything away. It was kind of easy towards the end, and for me, I didn't care. I don't mind that. I wasn't playing Starlink for like this massive challenge. I was just kind of playing it because I liked the tasks that it was sending me to do, even though they were repetitive in many ways. It was a repetition that I didn't get bored of, unlike so many other games where that has happened and I've just set them aside. This one didn't bore me, so I kept going at it and pretty much cleaned every planet up and took out the final boss today, and yeah, done with it. It was totally worth my time. I would say if somebody is even vaguely interested in this kind of game, it's got a little bit of light real-time strategy. It's got a little bit of light RPG, and of course, it's a lot of shooting. So the exploration aspects, if you're really into like detailed open worlds like Red Dead Redemption 2, this is not it. The worlds are not teeming with life and things to do. There's like six animals on every planet that you're supposed to scan, and they don't feel like real worlds in many senses. They just feel like video game stages, like little sandboxes. But it didn't matter to me. For all of its flaws, like its flaws to me seemed very shallow. If you care a ton about aesthetics, then maybe you're not going to be into this. If you care a ton about story, maybe you're not going to be into this. But if you care about gameplay, which is pretty much all I care about, this was fun. Starlink did not disappoint. I'm very, very glad I didn't miss it. And if there's another one, I'll probably pick that one up too.
Man, it just seems like Ubisoft has been the quiet partner that Nintendo's needed for a while to help them flesh out their massive lineup of characters and games.
Yeah, and I hope this one didn't fly too under the radar for people. It came out at the wrong time of the year because Tim, you said that, off the broadcast. It's true. It came, there's a lot of other games that came out around this, and I feel like it didn't get a very big push, even though it got pretty decent reviews across the board, which is why I ultimately decided to pick it up, is because, it seemed like people did enjoy it. They weren't knocking it too much. So I picked it up, and they were right. I hope that people can go out and discover this one, because it's the kind of game, that they can make better. There's room for improvement on this, but it's got a decent foundation to start with.
Nice. I kind of want to check it out, but I probably won't. So I'll just have to keep talking
I'll
to you
probably
about
play
it.
it sometime way down the line.
It's Ubisoft, so I'm sure it'll go on sale, but I hope they sold enough at retail at full value to justify another one. It's a new IP, and they can keep on making, Assassin's Creed and Far Cry and all the other Ubisoft titles that everybody's well aware of. Or, they experimented here though, and I wanted to give them credit for trying something. Like I say, this isn't a home run. They didn't knock this thing out of the park. It's got its flaws, but it also is fun, and that was the most important thing to me. Like, it was a game that I didn't really want to stop playing, and I tend to get bored with games and abandon them a lot these days. Like, that's happened to me quite a bit, and for this one to kind of capture my attention caught me off guard a little bit, and I liked it. I wish there was even more to do in it. If there was more planets, I'd go to those planets. I'd continue doing the same things over and over again because I kind of like doing what they have to offer.
See, that's why we do this show, because you just never know quite what you're gonna get. And I hope that someone out there is motivated to go pick this up, pick up a game they probably wouldn't have picked up if Patrick hadn't said anything. So, Patrick, thank you so much.
If I can convince one person, Tim, then I'll have made a difference.
Ubisoft is out there shrugging, like, not really.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Zach, beyond Diablo, what have you been up to?
Well, I actually got another review code for a game on Steam, but it's not a Nintendo game. It's just a kind of like an old school style shmup called Rigid Force Alpha. So I've been playing a lot of that. Yeah, Diablo. I played this really interesting Switch game recently called like Ultimate Chicken Horse or something like that. Have you guys heard that of that game?
I remember some chicken game, but it showed up on the
Yeah.
internet, but I don't remember what it was called.
It's a platformer that's also a competitive game where you try to set traps on a side-scrolling map, and there's like a flag at the end that you're all trying to get to, but everyone sets traps at the same time and everyone runs the same course. So you can imagine that it gets pretty hilarious, like some of the layouts you can do and stuff like that. That was pretty fun. Super Mario Party, I've been playing
How do you like Super Mario
with
Party?
friends. I like it, but the best mode is not the standard mode. The best mode is Partner Party by far.
I played a little bit of that over at my brother's house. He bought it, and so last weekend I got to try it out. And that is pretty fun, actually.
Partner Party is amazing.
Yeah, it's the thing where you're going down the raft.
No, it's the one where it's a 2v2, and you can move in any direction on any space in any way you want.
Oh, I didn't get to check that out then.
So people have theories that the game was actually originally designed around Partner Party because the maps are a lot smaller than other Mario Party games, right? Mm-hmm. And you can tell that, you know, a lot of the mini games and a lot, well, not the mini games, but, you know, the boards were designed around this Partner Party mode. And I think they kind of thought, oh, if we don't advertise this as a return to form for Mario Party, people might not buy it like Mario Party 10. So they didn't advertise it as a Partner Party game, but the game is most certainly designed for Partner Party, but it's really good. Like, it's actually better than the standard mode.
Wait, how does it work in Partner Party?
So Partner Party is automatically a 2v2, and you go around collecting allies that are just other characters that add to your dice roll with their dice blocks. However, you don't move around like a traditional board. You can move in any direction, any way you want, to any space you want, and there's way more spaces. It's like a grid tile system now. And it's just so, there's so many possibilities, and it's just so much fun. I'm probably not doing a good job of explaining it, but it's almost better than the regular mode, I'd say.
So are you, in the mini games, are you paired up with somebody?
Not always. So there are four, like, there are the 1v1v1v1 mini games. There's also the 2v2, there's a 3-on-1, you know, whatever. But actually, I don't think there are 3-on-1s. I take that back. If you're doing a 4v4, it just, whichever team has the last person left, they're the ones that gets the coins. So it's a 4v4 minigame, but it's effectively a 2v2.
Interesting. So you think that that's the way that they originally thought this game?
Oh, yeah. If you're going to buy that game, that's the mode you should be playing most of the time. It's the best one, for sure.
All right.
It's a lot more strategic than other than the standard mode. A lot of strategy involved.
Maybe you can answer this for me. Can you play with two people against two computer players?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So I could like team up with my wife rather than destroy her.
99% sure, because I think my friends are talking about that.
Now you can also do that co-op. They have a co-op version or a co-op like mode, right, where you're going in a raft down the river and you have to row the same way and then play mini games along the way to gain more time or something like that. Yeah.
I didn't play that one, but that is in the game.
Okay. Yeah, that's. I played a little bit of that. It was fine. I mean, it's just basically mini games and then the rowing. You know, you just got to be in sync with your partner rowing. That's all. But it's all co-op though. I mean, all of it is.
It's definitely not a single player. Like, don't buy it if. I mean, this should go without saying, but you know, definitely not to buy if you're just planning on playing single player.
That's always the problem with, you know, it's not a problem, but some of these games look so enticing because they have some of your favorite characters in them, right? Like Mario Party. Yeah, I love the Mario universe, but I never play games with anybody else, so it makes zero sense for me to buy a Mario Party. I mean, only occasionally when I go over to my brother's house or something. He's the only one other person I know with a Switch. And stuff like Smash Brothers, that's what always has held me back from Smash Brothers. Now, this new one looks like it's going to have enough single-player content in there to justify it for me. But
we're getting an adventure mode back again. Thank the Lord.
I always hate that I don't want to play Mario Tennis. I mean, Mario Tennis you can do online, but let's face it, it'd be more fun if you were doing couch co-op with that game,
too. So much more fun, couch co-op. Like, we had a little Mario Tennis, because, like, my situation is the opposite. I have about 10 friends that I know that live within, like, a 20-minute radius that all have Switches. So
you're in an ideal situation.
Like, we already have the family plan, and each of us are only paying $5 a year for the online.
Yeah. I mean, that's
like all my friends have a Switch. So like we're always bringing it over to each other's houses and like playing it. But I think for Smash, what we need to do, because I've actually been talking to some of the other Goomba Stomp guys that are like, you know, Smash is one of the, you know, definitely one of the biggest games of this generation for sure. And they want to play it, but they don't have anyone to play it with. I think we should make a Goomba Stomp Smash group. Well, because the online looks like it's going to be more robust.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rick put something like that together, because he's been talking about making a Smash group for a while now. And
we should definitely do that.
He might do that.
For sure.
Tim, what have you been playing?
So, I was telling you this, Patrick. I have been playing Pokemon Ultra Moon, trying to get it done and out of the way to make way for Pokemon Let's Go.
So how is Ultra Moon different from Moon?
Ultra Moon is like kind of like any Pokemon generation. They do a third iteration of the generation, if you will.
The Z, if you will.
Exactly. And so
it never existed. Did that one exist?
Yeah, Z never happened.
Yeah, Z
never happened. but like Yellow or Crystal. So it has a slightly different story. It's pretty similar, but slightly different story. There's more features, a couple more things to collect. This is one of the first times that there's actually technically new Pokemon in it, which is really, really cool. They've never done that before where there's like actually new Pokemon, but this has a couple of new Ultra Beasts that were not featured in Sun and Moon, which, I mean, if you're a big fan like me, it's just incredibly exciting. And on top of that, the narrative starts to diverge even more towards the end. So it gets a little bit different. And then by the end, you've got the post game's mostly the same, but there's a couple of new activities that actually have a huge impact for collectors. Everyone out there totally knows what I'm talking about, but there's a cool way that makes it easier than ever to get shiny Pokemon. And so that's pretty cool and exciting. So it's mostly the same game, but it is, in my opinion, the better version of Sun and Moon. And definitely recommend picking it up if you really liked Sun and Moon and you could see yourself wanting to play through again, maybe with different Pokemon, which is what I always do. Like, oh, I could easily do that again. That's what I did. The problem is there are too many Pokemon I want to play with. So this playthrough has taken me forever because I legitimately train up Pokemon 40 levels and then bank them and grab something totally different and start training that. And it's been a mess. And I have not landed on a party. And my party's been enormously lopsided at points where I think I had like 3 water Pokemon at one point. And you just do not need 3 water Pokemon. But it's so fun. I can't help it.
Let's Go only has Kanto, right? Like not even Johto evolutions.
From what I've heard, I cannot speak to this because again, I don't have a review copy. It seems a bit goofy to me that you can't evolve Pokemon like Scyther and Onix.
Yeah, because Steelix is my favorite Pokemon. So if,
I know, and
if he's not in the game, I mean that's just
Espeon is in my top 3, so I'm gonna be really salty about it. Yeah. But we'll see. I've not heard anything about any Gen 2 Pokemon showing up, which is a bummer. But
now I thought you could bring in Pokemon from Go.
Yes.
You can, but it's Kanto exclusively, and that does include Alolan variants, which is something that's really exciting. The only problem is I think the only way to get them is through Pokemon Go, and I just don't play Pokemon Go anymore. And you could only get them through trading each other in Pokemon Go. And I definitely didn't play Pokemon Go with anyone. So that's going to be really disappointing.
I don't know why. It's just like the more I hear about this game, the more I'm like, man, this doesn't sound good.
See, I mean, the reviews on it have been very good, very positive, really. I mean, I think it's more positive than I thought. I thought a lot of people were going to be saying this is bare bones, not worth your time. But most of the reviews are saying that it's still pretty good. It's not the it's a different kind of a different way to play Pokemon, but it's still pretty good. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm also not like I've only played Moon really, so that's it. I don't really have any nostalgia going into this deep love for Pokemon. So for me, this is just going to be a relaxing game.
Yeah. I don't know. Just to me, it seems like, when I'm used to spending like $40 for one of the Pokemon games that are just absolutely filled to the brim with stuff, And they have something like this that's 60 that's like a really neutered version. Like, you don't even battle wild Pokemon. And I think they took out Pokemon abilities, too. Like, I don't understand how the game could possibly benefit from not having wild Pokemon battles.
I think they're looking at it in a different way, though. One of the things that I think Nintendo's having a problem with, I don't think they have a problem with any of this. But when I see Pokemon fans on forums or things like that, I think they're looking at this game the wrong way. They're very disappointed in it, but it's not... This was never meant to be the next Pokemon, right?
No.
There's another one coming, and I think people are super disappointed that this isn't the next Pokemon. But it was never supposed to be that. It's a different kind of game, and it needs to be looked at in a different kind of way. It's a different kind of experience.
And I agree with you. I think the people that are just shit-talking the game online and being, like, vicious about it are definitely in the wrong, because it's not like a Diablo Immortal situation where it's like, okay, this was our big announcement, and this is all we have, and there's nothing else. Like, the Pokemon companies already came out and said, yeah, we have another game in development. It's coming next year.
Yeah.
My thing is just from my perspective, I'm just saying, yeah, this one's not for me.
Yes.
I don't think this is for my taste, but then you also have like I don't understand why people would be angry with this game, because we know another one's coming. Like, what's the big deal? It's just
and
a different kind
people,
of game.
This is the problem with fans, is they don't think about anything realistically, and this game has not set back Pokemon Generation 8 at all.
No, people always think
it's
like, if they devoted developers to this, well, that means they just slowed down development of the next Pokemon.
That's not how this works at all. No.
And also, there's a market for this game. Hello, I pre-ordered this game. Like, I'm not a Pokemon guy, and yet here I have purchased this game because this actually looks like
Pokemon game for people that are not Pokemon people.
Yeah, I'm not hardcore in any way Pokemon. To me, this is like the Animal Crossing of Pokemons. I'm looking forward to a nice, pleasant experience where I get to wander around and throw balls at animals and catch some of them and, you know, whatever, battle some trainers and go through a funny, quirky little story in all the towns. Like, I did play half of Yellow, you know, for this podcast maybe about 2 years ago, I think we did that. I think I'd rather play it this way. I wasn't really into that game. I never finished it.
And it's admittedly dated, but for people like me that just adore Yellow, it's just so exciting to go back and to get to experience a game that I treasure in a totally different way. I would pay money for this to happen to all my favorite games. Honestly, what's wrong with people that they get to kind of approach something for the first time but still be revisiting something? It's not just a straight remake. It's a recreation, a reimagining, and I think that's thrilling. And I hope they can come up with even different ideas and approach that, I don't know, Gold and then maybe Ruby and Sapphire, and give us something just unexpected.
I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes a series. This Let's Go thing becomes a series in its own right.
That'd be fine with me. I'm fine with it being there, and I almost think that we should have something like this, because like there is that crowd that Pokemon Go tapped into. I'm just not convinced that it is made for Pokemon fans. Like, I actually really don't think it is made for Pokemon fans.
No,
I don't think the game is made as a nostalgia trip. I really don't.
I think it's made for a different variety of fans, because I think that what this game is really going to prey on is nostalgia. And Zach, I don't know how old you are, but I think this is aimed at people like me who have like just the fondest memories of picking this up when I was really young and playing it through, and it being one of the games that was instrumental into turning me into a gamer.
Yeah, mine would be Gold. I don't have those kind of feelings with like Red, Blue, and Yellow.
Yeah.
I missed those games.
And I think that there's something special about Kanto. Well, I totally think that Gold and Silver are better games. I think Johto's the best generation. I think that there's something special and magical about Kanto, and anytime you get to replay Kanto, it's going to be thrilling, especially with that Gengar following behind me. I'm going to be a happy boy.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it's their attempt to sort of lure back in, you know, people who may have abandoned Pokemon but still play video games. That's a possibility as well, sort of just to remind them of what it was like when they were kids by giving them this different sort of experience, this experience that's clearly designed to evoke pleasant feelings more so than provide gaming challenge.
Yeah, right. I think that's exactly right, Patrick.
That's
anyway,
a good way
that
to explain it.
that was a super unexpected talk spot about Pokemon Let's Go out this Friday, which we'll be reviewing next week. Right now we're going to take a break and stay in the Pokemon world, as we've got to talk about the new Detective Pikachu trailer, so don't go anywhere.
All right, everything looks good.
Wow! This Starlink tech is amazing!
This'll give us the edge we need to take down Wolf.
Least we could do. Good luck.
Let's rock and roll, boys!
Catch you later.
Seems like that fox guy has made some friends. They just destroyed my outpost. There must have been 50 ships.
Oh. 50 ships?
Yeah. And the worst part is, they're headed to your place on Tundria now.
Good.
Exactly. Glad you, wait. Why is that good again?
Welcome back to N Express. We're at our main discussion, a talk spot about Detective Pikachu, the new live-action movie with Ryan Reynolds as everyone's favorite electric mouse. But you guys, I don't know how to feel about this. I cannot tell you how unbelievably conflicted I felt watching this, where one moment I was just thrilled, and then the next I was nervous, and then the next I was skeptical, and then finally a little bit hopeful. It's been a very mixed bag, and it's a 2-minute trailer, but that's kind of the power of Pokemon, especially when you're seeing them in a totally new way, because you guys, we've got fur on a whole new level here.
Yeah, that's the fur is the most striking thing about what I noticed.
He looks very cuddly.
Yeah, Pikachu looks incredible. Honestly, just looks so lifelike. And I think beyond the tail, I could like maybe see that as an actual animal, right? Maybe not the colors, but you get what I'm saying. It was very believable.
Yeah, as a physical object. I will say this, the production value of this movie is way higher than I thought it would be. Way higher. They seem like they have put a lot of time and skill into this thing. That's from an effects standpoint. I'd say that everything looked really good. This has potential. It's a 2-minute trailer, so I can't speak to the quality of the movie. But just based on the effects alone, the quality of the effects, if it's got a good script, it could be up there in Roger Rabbit territory as for fake things interacting with real things, kind of. I'm very curious to see how much interaction these Pokemon actually have with the real world, and do they try to play off the... It has a similar feel to me, at least the premise does. Like, there's people living with these unreal creatures in this alternate universe, which is kind of what Roger Rabbit is, like people living with cartoons in this alternate universe where cartoons are actually alive and they're actors. So I'm curious to see how that all plays out.
I think now it makes sense that this is happening now. Honestly, after Guardians of the Galaxy, you can watch those movies and you kind of forget that Rocket Raccoon's not real. He's voiced so well. They act alongside him so well that you just kind of buy into the fact that he's there. And I think that we might have that again with Pikachu here alongside Tim.
So
as he's known.
Tim, you Tim, what are your... See, okay, for me, I thought, you know what, this actually looks half decent. I think I never thought I'd want to go see this, but I thought, all right, I can actually see going to this movie and paying $10 for it. Tim, what are your concerns? Let's start about that, first of all.
So, here's the thing about Pokemon fans, is for decades now, we've been looking at fan art of realistic Pokemon and enjoying it because it was safe and distant and not real. And now we've got recreations that are still incredibly close. Don't get me wrong. It's important to note that none of these designs are straying too far and none of them are going too close to the inspirational animal. But there's something to be said about that. Like, the internet didn't react super favorably to Mr. Mime, right?
Everyone's just like,
this
guy.
Oh my god.
He didn't look, he also didn't look like he belonged in that movie. He looked like he belonged in a different movie.
His face was a little too cartoony.
Yeah.
And I think it's something about the eyes, like Pikachu's eyes.
Yeah, that was so creepy.
Like, those eyes remind me of my dog's eyes, which just have like so much personality in them.
And Psyduck say so had much. No personality in his eyes, which is perfect, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just blank, expressionless. And then you see this Mr. Mime and he's, I don't know, you can tell he's just there for the comic relief of him. And they were like, how can we make a Pokemon that would be the absolute worst in real life?
I mean, the thing is, there's some Pokemon that are going to be hard to put in there. Like, are they going to put the jangly keys in there? You know, like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
I really hope Trubbish is in there. A pile of garbage should be pretty easy for them.
Well, and that's one of the hopeful points is that I'm seeing a Pancham poster right next to a Squirtle poster. And I'm like, they're clearly emphasizing the original generation, but I got to see a Greninja design like this. And that's super exciting for fans like me, where I'm not an elitist. I'm not going to just be pushing for Gen 1 Pokemon. If I don't see Gengar, will I leave extremely bitter? Yes. But I got to see a lot of other cool Pokemon that I truly love. So,
and Zach, yeah. Was there any like disappointment for you in this? Or were you pretty pleased with it overall? You seem to think it sounds like you think it's pretty weird.
I really have no clue what to think. I don't like the voice actor they picked for Pikachu at all.
Really? Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, I think that's a terrible, terrible choice. He should be a very, like...
You wanted Danny DeVito.
Gruff kind of voice. Like, I just... Yeah, Danny DeVito would have been 20 times better, yeah. I mean, I think they were like, oh, Ryan Reynolds, he was that raccoon.
No, that was
Pikachu. That was Bradley Cooper.
That's Bradley Cooper, yeah.
Oh, shows you how much I know about
Come
movies.
Come on, Zach.
I don't know it's Deadpool. I don't know, dude, I don't know actors. I don't know anything about movies.
I think they were
similar sounding voices.
One of the most universally loved actors. I think it's really hard not to just get fall into the charisma of Ryan Reynolds. So
I like him as a guy, for sure. I just don't like him as Pikachu.
So for me, I actually thought that voice worked fairly well. But then again, I also don't take with me 30 years of preconceived Pikachu notions. So
yeah. I mean, this is more based on the game, the internet, and the stereotypical detective voice. I think you go into like very dangerous territory. I was absolutely the person that was clamoring for Danny DeVito. But
it would have been funny, absolutely, but they went in a different way with the character. Now, when you actually see that character, DeVito's voice doesn't make sense with those lines.
Yeah, and I think they're going to move more in, like, Pikachu's going to be a lot of the comic relief, and I also think they're going to go for sentimentality. I think that Tim and Pikachu are going to end up being best friends, and not maybe in a trainer capacity, but in a partner capacity.
And then it made sense for them to be closer in age, too, because if Pikachu comes off like this old man, that's going to be – it could be funny, but if you are going to go for sentimentality, I don't know. It's going to be a little bit
strange, it's weird.
Especially if you want to have this be a franchise kind of deal. It makes more sense if they're both youngish and can, you know, enjoy life together or something like that, which sounds weird to say. But, they kind of need to be – they're better suited, I think. I think people will get – anybody that was sort of starting at Ryan Reynolds' voice coming out of Pikachu's body, I think you'll get used to it once you actually see him in action, hear the lines. It'll make more sense.
Yeah,
DeVito would have been a different movie, clearly, than what they're going for right now.
It would have been just played for laughs.
Yeah, right. And it would have been laughs just because of his voice. And I don't think they want to do that. I think they want to make Pikachu... They're not making a straight-up spoof here. They are trying to make a movie with an actual... I don't think they just want the comedy of having Danny DeVito be Pikachu's voice to be the crux of the movie. I think they're actually trying to do something, I don't want to say serious, because there's clearly a lot of comedy in here, But Tim, I think you're right. I think there are going to be some tender moments in this movie. Some tears will be shed from Pikachu's dew eyes.
So the other hesitancy that I've got is just the one that any fan should reasonably have going into the first movie ever, first live-action movie, is this could be a permanent mar on Pokemon's relatively unscathed appearance.
It could be. Absolutely.
Think about how long Pokemon has been a thing and how few blemishes there are on the franchise's history. Like, there are very few low moments. There are very few, like, well, this was an enormous failure. Like, you think about stuff like, I don't know, superhero movies. Some of them have a really good track record and have gotten away really unscathed. Others, I don't know, like Ryan Reynolds in Green Lantern. Like, we can't unsee
the Super Mario movie.
Super Mario is the worst possible example, right? Like, that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
And to have that happen to Pokemon, I'm not ready for it. And this, but based on a two-minute trailer, doesn't look like it.
Didn't kill the Mario franchise, though.
No, but now we're never going to get a Mario movie ever again.
Well, here's the thing. This is an off... Well, I guess it's a weird sort of offshoot. You know what? They're taking a risk, which is kind of something that the Pokemon company doesn't do, right? The reason that they have this untarnished track record is because they play it pretty safe for the most part. So this is a risk, and that's kind of exciting to see them. You know, since Detective Pikachu came out, people were wondering what kind of movie it would have made, and I'm kind of surprised that we're actually getting a chance to find out. I did not think that they would commit this kind of resources to a Detective Pikachu movie.
Especially when the game was, like, you know...
So slight.
Kind of slight, and not many people really were interested in it, and I heard it was really lame.
I think some people had a good time with it as a storytelling thing, but and it was weird hearing Pikachu talk. And I guess he had a gruffer voice in the game, but... Yeah, I don't know. I think it's very interesting that they're doing this. I pride myself on having a pretty good sense about movie trailers. You know, been watching them for a long time, and I don't get disaster from this. This is not going to be a Super Mario Brothers movie. It may not be great, but it's not going to be bad. I can tell right off the bat that there's some real professionalism that went into this thing, and it impressed me just strictly from its production value. And it doesn't seem like it's noise either. So it's not going to be like filling the screen with just a bunch of junk. It seems like they're actually at least taking their time a little bit to try to construct something here. And that is the mark of thought behind this movie.
Yeah,
as opposed to just, you know, cash grab.
It's hard as a fan, as a hyper fan, not to be any bit nervous. But I think that looking at it objectively, I think that we have a potentially quality family flick on our hands. And I think it's going to be a fun, well-remembered, lighthearted comedy. That's what it seems like it's going for. The other thing that you have to really, really wonder is this. Just a cheap cash grab is another common fear, but it seems like
it's not cheap.
Based on everything that I read about the production and that has come out since this trailer, it sounds like people that genuinely care about the property, or at least know enough to find people that care about the property, are being brought into this production to make a very lived-in Pokemon world so that on screen it feels very natural and it feels very right seeing it all come together in a live action film. Like, I read a really cool story about one of the most popular artists who did realistic Pokemon renditions got hired to help with the Pokemon designs of this. And I'm like, cool, this guy's been a mega fan for years and years and years. And I was totally aware of him and really liked his work. And now hearing that he's been a part of the production, I'm like, they're finding the right kinds of people to help put this movie together, and that's going to make a world of difference over a bunch of suits who don't get it and just want to, like, make a buck off of Pikachu's name.
Yeah, I think that with that two-minute trailer, you could discern a lot of things from a trailer. You can discern, you know, a cynical approach to any sort of subject from a trailer usually, and it's in the marketing for it. And the marketing didn't strike me as appealing only to Pokemon fans to come and see this movie. It didn't seem to me to be like they're just trying to cash in really quick on the success of Pokemon. There is some quality in the images. The song that they chose works really well together. Works really well with that that sort of theme. And it's not just a popular pop song. If this was a cynical cash grab, they would have played the same songs they used over and over and over again in all sorts of dumb movies that have the hundreds of dumb movies that have come out. But I think they actually went for something hip, a little bit upbeat, and like I say, the quality of the images that were presented just from 2 minutes, I know it's a short sample, but they seem to have some actual filmmaking skill behind them. It doesn't look like it's going to be an overly artistic movie, but as far as craftsmanship goes, this is above just your average video game movie. I didn't see cameras swirling around fake scenes like you normally get with establishing shots like Assassin's Creed and all these dumb things they try to replicate. It seemed like they were actually going for a traditional movie. I saw static cameras. That's amazing. Like, how many times has that happened? Video game movies tend to just, like, assume that their audience has a low attention span, and so they constantly keep things moving, kinetic.
Quick cuts. Yeah.
And this seemed like it actually may take its time to breathe, which is, again, that's something that I can at least initially respect. It's putting it in the right direction. Let's put it that way. I'm more positive than negative on this movie.
Same, but there's still so much to be felt.
Of course.
In seeing Pokemon come to life, but I'm glad that the Pokemon company let the reins go and really, like, we're never going to be able to see Charizard the same again, right? Like, for so long he's been a safe cartoon image. And now he's going to be a somewhat scary dragon, which a lot of us are like, yes, thank goodness. But at the same time, like, Pokemon wants to protect these images. You read stuff in the games, and you're like, that's dark and gritty for a kid's game, but getting to see it is something totally different. So this should be interesting no matter what. I have some hope for this movie, and I think it could be a good one. Still nervous.
I think you should have some hope.
Anyway, that's all we have to say about Pokemon. It's only been like an hour. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll see what we think of Diablo. Don't go anywhere.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
I know.
You can't understand me, but put down the stapler or I will electrocute you.
Did you just talk?
Whoa. Did you just understand me?
Oh my God! You can understand me!
Stop!
I've been so lonely!
They try to talk to me all the time. All they hear is Pika Pika.
You can hear him, right?
Pika Pika!
Yeah, Pika Pika Pika. He's adorable.
You're adorable. They can't understand me, kid.
Can no one else hear him? I don't need a Pokemon, period.
Then what about a world-class detective? Because if you want to find your pops,
I'm your best bet. We're gonna do this, you and me.
There's magic that brought us together, and that magic is called hope.
Welcome back to NXpress. We're at our final segment, a discussion of Diablo 3 out on the Nintendo Switch right now. I am personally not a fan of Diablo. That's not to say that I don't like the game. Just never really played the Diablo series. Though I know the redemption story that is Diablo 3, how it started in a rough place, and now it's very well regarded and loved. And it's really cool that a quality game like this from such a respected developer like Blizzard is on the Switch. But we've got to see what Zach thinks, because Zach, you've been playing this quite a bit.
Right. I have an article up that goes into, you know, some more detail about what I think. But if I had to sum it up, I would say that, and this only applies to the console version, so not counting the PC version of the game, the Switch is your best place to play the game. Definitely. I would say it's a better place to play the game than PlayStation 4 or Xbox One.
Simply so for the portability or?
No, actually. So first of all, you're not sacrificing performance at all. I tried my damnedest to get this game to even stutter. In handheld mode, docked mode with three people on the screen, playing online, playing local, whatever, I could not get the game to skip a frame. Like, no matter what was going down on screen, which is awesome. That's how the other versions of Diablo are. Like, I've spent a lot of time with the PlayStation 4 version of the game, so I was comparing that to the Switch version. In terms of docked play, it looks very similar to the PlayStation version. Obviously not quite as good, but nothing that you're really going to notice that much. I would almost consider it a non-issue. The portability is fantastic for a game like that because you can pick it up, grind for a bit, put it back down. But the ability to have LAN play is a really big deal. That is a big deal. And the other versions of the game just don't have that. It is really nice to just be hanging out. You're playing Diablo in handheld mode. Someone else has Diablo in handheld mode in the same room, and you just play over LAN. You know, no Wi-Fi involved, no nothing. You don't have to be connected to the internet. That is cool. That's a really cool thing. That's one of my favorite parts about local multiplayer on the Switch, because it's a different way to play locally. Instead of two people on the same TV, which still works great, you can do two people on two different handheld devices. So it's like it's really blurring the lines between console and handheld. The other versions don't have that. So, because the, you know, performance and visual wise, it's so damn similar to the other versions. I would say if I had to pick any version, I'd go with the Switch. Even over PS4 and Xbox One.
Kind of a huge deal when you're comparing it to the two, at least in terms of power, the better consoles, right?
Yeah, I can't stress this enough. I couldn't even get it to skip a frame. Locked at 60. It was, like, pretty shocking, actually.
So, are there, besides the joys, are there any cons to the Switch version?
I see what Tim did there.
Oh, my gosh. I just got that. No.
Wow.
No. I mean, Diablo 3 is a fantastic game. I had no issues doing any of the things I would have done on any of the other systems at all. And if there are, I just didn't see it. But, like, I was really trying to stress test the game. I guess if I had to make one nitpick, it would be playing with one Joy-Con held sideways isn't really that great for a game like this because it does involve a lot of buttons. But
can you really see too many people playing it that way?
No. The audience that's playing Diablo 3 is not using a Joy-Con held sideways.
Yeah, in tabletop mode.
They're not doing that. Like, everyone's going to have their own controller. It's not very demanding movement-wise, so playing in handheld mode with a slightly cramped, because, you know, handheld mode can be a bit cramped depending on how large your hands are. For me, it's fine because I don't have very big hands. But for others, you know, the Joy-Cons in handheld mode aren't the most ideal for very, you know, games that involve quick, precise movements, like something like Celeste. I didn't play that in handheld mode because it's not as precise as a pro controller, you know. This is not the case here. Diablo does not really, like, you. Precise movements are not the name of the game here, so it's fantastic in handheld mode. The screen looks a bit washed in handheld because it is 720. Doesn't look like that in dock mode at all, but again, that's you're playing it, you know, you're playing one of the best PC games at the moment in portable mode, which is a pretty crazy thing to say. But yeah, I can't think of a single thing I really didn't like about this version of the game. Oh, okay, yeah. I do have one, actually. The price. The other versions are all cheaper. The Switch version is $60. That's the only negative thing about the game.
That's the Switch and, tax. I mean, everybody, right, every game kind of comes out on the Switch is
it'll be cheaper at some point in time, just like all the other versions. Because when the other versions came out, they were also $60. So that's just a matter of time. But if price is not an issue and you don't have a PC, get the Switch version of the game. You will not regret it.
Now, for somebody who's never played Diablo, what is the appeal of these games? What's the main thrust of the gameplay?
The main thrust of the gameplay is constant progression. You always feel like you've accomplished something every time you play. It is a constant stream of, oh, I got a new item. Oh, I leveled up. Oh, I got a new ability. Oh, I got a new way to change one of my abilities, like a new parameter to change my ability. It's just constant upgrades. And then once you've reached the level cap, you have an infinite amount of Paragon levels to get. Other than that, it's an isometric dungeon crawler, hack and slash type game. Just kill enemies. Sometimes the screen is so filled with enemies you literally can't even move. You're just spamming skills, hoping things drop dead, and watching your health bar. Your health bar will be going down and up and down and up constantly. It's just so much going on at once on the screen. If you like progression and that's an addictive feeling for you, like me. This is like you take the progression of something like Destiny, and obviously I'm not comparing because Diablo came first. I'm not being like, oh, Diablo's like Destiny. Like, I'm not stupid. But for people that have played Destiny, because there's probably a lot of people that have played Destiny and haven't played Diablo, that level of progression and weapon getting, you take a big shot of every steroid cocktail you can possibly imagine because you're doing it constantly. You are, like, every 5 or 10 minutes you're getting a better piece of gear sometimes. It's crazy.
So are you spending half your time in a menu? You're not. Okay, so this progression comes in real time. You don't have to, constantly be fiddling with your character.
No menus. You just move around, press buttons to use your attacks.
Okay.
And all the buttons, all the face buttons and the shoulder buttons are all different attacks. And there's a ton of them. Ton of different combinations, ton of different possibilities. There's so much where you can really put your personality and your play style into the character you choose. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. It's a game I thought about giving a shot just because I've never have played it, and it gets, such raves.
Yeah.
And I sort of wondered, like, am I going to enjoy, I don't know if I'm the progression, if I enjoy that kind of thing. As long as I'm not constantly in a menu, I can definitely see that progression, or that kind of gameplay being just fine. I don't mind hack and slashes. As long as I don't have to constantly stop and worry about, oh, should I give them this ability, or go into skill trees and debate whether, what branch I want to take my guy in.
There's no skill trees. It's more of just like what skills you want to pick once you unlock them.
Okay.
So it's like you just have a pool of skills. You unlock them gradually as the game progresses, and you just have to make decisions like, okay, do I want this one or this one? And they're just attacks. It's like, anything where you'd pick an attack that a character does. There's no complicated skill trees. In fact, if you don't even want to press start and open a menu to equip gear, you don't even have to do that. There's a quick equip option where you literally pick up a piece of gear, press it's either up or down on the D-pad, I can't remember, and it auto equips it. And because it gives you a little summary whether or not it's better. So you don't even have to go in the menus for that. They streamline the process.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all great. Right. I mean, I that, can't Bungie? See someone that's not gonna like it. Yeah, well, Bungie's kind of like, okay, we got all this feedback from our fans. Now let's sit in the corner with our ears plugged and say la 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 until our game is not meeting sales expectations.
I'm not gonna defend them right now because you're not wrong. I feel like Bungie should have named Destiny 2 Forsaken the Bungie's Actually Listening Now expansion. But this is
which
something...
is sad because that's what Destiny 2 should that's what they advertised Destiny 2. Okay, guys, we're gonna fix everything except not.
But apparently make it worse than where we were. Yeah.
Let's make less post game. what? Oh God.
At Diablo, it's supposed to be all about the post game, right?
Oh my God, Diablo. Yeah. There are people that have been playing Diablo for, for 6 years at this point, and they're still playing because, like, there are, like, what is it? I think it's, like, 17 different difficulty levels.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane, man. The amount of content in the game is, like, crazy, crazy, crazy. I seriously cannot recommend the game enough. I didn't give the game a score in my review because the game's been reviewed how many times now? I was just talking about how good I think the port is, but the game is just incredible. Like, if you like that aspect about Destiny, the gear, then Diablo is going to be like, oh wow, this is the game I wish Destiny kind of was, except not a first person shooter. See,
this is, like, from everything I've heard about Diablo and for people that care, like, it is apparently, like, the progression system that everything should have. Yeah. I listen to multiple Destiny podcasts, and I hear the word transmogrification over and over and over, because it's as simple as, I like the way this looks, but I like this other armor's perks. Let's make him one. And I am just like,
every game should have that.
Right? Like,
every single game.
You should be able to look how you want, but play how you want.
Right. Like, you can transmogrify Ganondorf's armor, but have whatever stats you'd like on a different piece.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is the Switch version. There are a couple of unique features, including Ganondorf's armor. You can get a pet cuckoo.
Which I have.
Triforce portrait frame.
He picks up coins for you.
Yeah, just a couple of small touches. It's also worth noting, this isn't just base game. Diablo 3 has evolved over time, and this has the base game, the Reaper of Souls expansion, and the Rise of the Necromancer pack. So it's fairly up to date. I think that's everything they've released for Diablo 3. Yeah.
Yes, that is. Yes.
So
we're in season 15 now, and the Switch starts you right season 15.
Which is really, really great. Admittedly, this game has kind of a slow release of content, but from what I understand, everything here is just A+. You can't get better than this. If you like hack and slash and progression-based games, you might lose yourself.
Yeah, seriously. And that's the thing. It's like, the content has been very slow, but that's because there's so much that's already here. It's not like, you know, we keep talking about Destiny, but it's not like Destiny where people are begging for more stuff to do. Like, you could easily lose yourself in the amount that the sheer scope of this game.
Yeah, the thing about Destiny that kind of drives me insane is that there are too many different varieties of people playing the game at a given time.
Right.
There are, like, casuals, and then there are, like, the fairly hardcore, and then the no-lifes.
Yeah.
And I feel like the no-lifes are causing problems for the hardcore.
Right.
Where the hardcore are trying their best to keep up, and they're perfectly content with everything that's there, and the no-lifes are like, we've beaten it all, there's nothing for us to do.
Right,
This game, you can't do that, right? Like, it's not even an option.
I challenge someone to do that. Again, like, there's like 17 difficulty levels, so there's quite a bit here. I mean, anyone listening, if you haven't played Diablo and you're a Nintendo fan, like, get this. I recommend it high. It is worth the $60 for sure. Like, it's worth that price, definitely.
So go pick up Diablo 3. Go watch the trailer for Detective Pikachu. And maybe even go pick up Starlink, according to Patrick. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. All good here this week, it seems like. Zach, thank you so much for being here again and reviewing Diablo for us. Where can we find you online?
I have a review coming up of Ridge of Force Alpha soon on Goomba Stomp. And also you can find me on Twitter. RackZZack64 on Twitter. I'm not streaming at the moment because I'm waiting until Smash comes out, because I don't have anything to stream until that comes out. So, yeah, that's it.
And Patrick, how about you?
You can always find me at GoombaStomp.com, mostly on the Sword Cinema side of things for movie lovers out there. Check out my weekly column on how to make an entrance, some of the best entrances by some of the most famous movie characters of all time. Other than that, hanging around Goomba Stomp. Maybe I'll write something on Starlink. I should write something on Starlink. I need to give that game a little bit more press.
Yeah. And I am Tim Mason. You can find me at Freemason, M-A-I-S-O-N, on Twitter. Check out my work on Goomba Stomp and my other show, Game Boys, all about co-op play. Beyond that, go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen, drop and express a rating and a review. It goes a huge way into getting us into new ears and slowly converting the world into a Nintendo nation, global entity, not even nation.
Yeah.
Something bigger.
Spread the disease.
Right. Microsoft and Sony can have their little war, and we'll all happily play Smash without them. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you more next week with all things Nintendo. See ya.
Angels can still feel fear.